really talking about is having principals in the schools that have authority and responsibility and accountability. So that's what good, well-run systems of all kinds in most spheres generally have.
Yes, and I think having strong principals that know things. What we've seen, though, is that we've had some things, some procedures and policies not being followed. As was asked earlier about a bunch of grades that weren't entered on time as a principal, and I was a principal three different times in two different districts, you as a principal, I think, have a responsibility to monitor that those things are being entered and to deal with those things at the school level. What we see from the audit, though, is that was not always happening. And so I think as we go forward, we'll look at these reports, we'll monitor these things a little more closely in central office, and we'll work with principals to make sure that as we continue the training of principals, grade change managers, counselors, and everything, that they understand those roles and responsibilities.
Okay. And two big picture questions. Are we, the feds, the state, the school system, everybody putting too much emphasis on graduation rates? We talked earlier about incentives that can go awry. Is this one of them?
So I think that graduation rates are important. They are the key to a successful future for our children. I mentioned to you in my suggestions that you also consider alternate pathways like the GED. You know, that is a Maryland diploma by some other name, and yet you don't count that in the calculations. You also don't sort of the funding structure changes when you have kids that are there for a fourth and fifth year at times, the supports that you get to work with those children. But I think graduation rate is important, and I think when you say too much pressure, you know, there's been a huge national conversation going along about whether these high stakes testing and the high stakes, you know, everything is creating a dynamic. But I think giving our children the tools that they need to succeed is really, really important.
Agree with that, certainly.
As I know you do. As the state, you set the rules. Again, as we sat and reviewed, you know, some of the work related to ESSA that's being defined at the state level and given to schools, you know, I think you have to critically analyze those things that you're asking of schools and school systems and decide whether you're asking too much or not. I understand you're asking me. I think the key to going forward in life is a high school diploma, having the right systems and the tools and the supports in place to make sure that happens with fidelity is what I think our discussion focuses on.
All right, thank you. One more big picture question for you. You alluded earlier to maybe basing things like graduation on competency rather than time in seat. And I've got a lot of sympathy for that approach, but how would we do it? How would we move to a competency-based or proficiency-based system instead of a X days in attendance basis?
Yeah. I think it takes some alternate opportunities for kids in schools. I mean, you actually had some of those discussions earlier about adults and those different structures. And, you know, when we talk about different avenues for different children, you know, we want kids to be able to leave, as I said in my remarks, prepared for college, career, life, you know, being in communities there for their futures. That's not the same necessarily answer for every single person. Some people choose different avenues, and they should be prepared for what that avenue is. So a lot, you know, some of our kids go in the military. You know, that's a fine option for children if they choose to pursue it. There was a time in this country when you could enter the military without a high school diploma, and I think, you know, some of us in the room remember those days. That's not the case anymore. The standard went up, and so again, the key to a lot of these options is making sure you have the high school diploma. It doesn't always take place for some kids in 4 years, and so again, that question of, you know, is too much emphasis on the 4 year, and what about the 5 year and 6 year option, and do schools get credit for that? Because we don't really get credit for that as districts and schools to the degree that you get the 4 year credit.
Thank you, Dr. Gayton.
I want to thank you for being here and answering these questions so thoroughly, and also for giving us a whole lot of ideas that we can consider and give serious thought to. I understand. I'm not going to argue about the justification for the grading system that you have. I understand that. I actually prefer it to some other systems that are out there, and I know that other systems are also adopting the same grading policy. And I do also believe that there's often justification for grade change. I've seen that in, I think, almost every kid at some point between kindergarten and 12th grade is going to have some sort of issue with inaccuracies or, you know, for my own kids, special need accommodations not being met for assessments. There are a lot of ways in which you can justify that. So that's not really an issue for me. But I would like to dig a little deeper into what Dr. Hardings said about the shift that you need to make from this culture of trust from the central office to a culture of communication and accountability. And what my biggest concern, one of my biggest concerns reading all of this was the same as Dr. Harding's, which is obviously the parents in your district are not receiving a lot of communication from your schools. And that shows a lack of priority in the system for that sort of relationship. I believe most of this could be avoided if the parents had a way to check the grades more regularly. Now, you talked about having access at the central office to check that grades were being entered more regularly, but you didn't say, and this is what I'd like to hear, that you're actually going to require your teachers to do this at a certain interval, and some systems do that. 2 weeks, you must record the grades. The other 2 weeks, you must record the grades. And I think that's how you build your trust among your community.
Teachers are supposed to enter two grades per week. It's been that monitoring that has, again, you know, when you trust that, that people are doing those things, or you hear, you know, it's that question of who is making sure that those are happening, and where is that accountability? And if it isn't taking place at the school level, which, you know, we see some evidence of that, then the people who supervise schools need to step up to that next level of supervision and accountability. But to the parent question, parents do have the ability.
The parents, we on average, we have 30 to 40,000 individuals log on to our student information system every day. The parents have an online portal. They can log in and see their grades, their attendance, their discipline, all of those things. You know, that's readily available, and it's on their phone as
right.
well.
And I will say that as a parent who also has access to those things, if you continuously do that and there's nothing changed on them or nothing updated, you stop using that. Okay.
You are correct in that, and again, that's one of the things that we are focused on.
Thank you, Dr. Lee.
I just wanted to build on what Dr. Steiner was talking about earlier about the incentives to do the wrong thing. Is there a way for you guys to employ incentives to reward teachers for authentic learning improvements? Because you say that the school system does not plan to offer student performance-based incentives. I understand how that can sometimes lead people astray because the incentives are overemphasized, but there must be a way to incentivize real learning gains. And how do you propose to do that?
So I think you know, in the strategic plan and in looking at the other pieces of data, again, we're talking primarily about graduation rate, but looking at all of those other pieces of data, the PARC assessments, the SATs, the AP exams, all of the different, the KRA, all of the different pieces of exam, we have to be looking at all of those to the same degree that we are looking at these, if that's what you mean by authentic learning.
Well, I also want to follow up the question that was in here about measuring the effectiveness of some of these programs, and the answer was, well, it's not completely implemented and you have to wait till the whole thing is implemented. Are you not impatient to find out whether some of these things like the Bridge program or the good faith effort is actually working? Because I feel like the kids are there for a very brief time, and if you have to wait 3 years to know whether it's working, it's too late for these kids. And maybe there are ways to be more aggressive about even just simple data analysis, looking at how they perform on different assessments compared to the students who are not using good faith effort or whatever it is, and maybe you need to tweak it or it's discredited or whatever. But I feel like I would like to see a little more urgency and impatience with gathering the information to help the students that are there now.
Yes, ma'am. And our research department, I think, can do more of that work. Yes, ma'am. And I also just want to say that, you know, in terms of teachers and teacher leadership and the questions you're talking about, we also have recently gotten a grant from the federal government on teacher leadership, and there's a whole big program that's being developed there, $25 million to help in the implementation of a lot of that work. So I hope that will help as well, and there are metrics that are assigned to that.
Dr. Steiner.
here's what's concerning me. You have one of the highest percentages of the use of the bridge project in the state of Maryland. You also have some very, very challenging demographics, some students who need everything we can help them with to succeed. You have credit recovery. You have grade changes. You have, consistent with other districts across the United States, a huge gap between an ever-increasing high school graduation rate and a very, very slowly, if at all, increasing college and career readiness rate. I worry that the real incentive to push on high school graduation is at this table, all of us, you and us. We seem to be pushing you to find more and more safe harbors for students to get through to high school graduation without actually achieving at a level that will prepare them for the next possibilities of life and success in those possibilities. Every time that high school graduation rate goes up and the Park 4 and 5 stay absolutely the same, nothing is really happening except a piece of paper is transferring. So when I was commissioner in New York, I faced this problem. We had inflated high school tests, as you will remember. We had done it for years. It was extremely painful to recalibrate the system, to tell the truth. And our gaps went way up. And there was a lot of agony. But in the end, teachers and parents actually could know that, however difficult, we were telling each other the truth. I hope that this board can send a signal to you, to us, to the parents, that we've got to stop doing this. We've got to stop pushing more and more students into routes to that piece of paper that don't in fact signify that they're ready for the next stage. And I'd ask you all to think very hard about what you're doing to stop that inflation of a non-meaningful piece of paper. That high school graduation diploma should mean readiness for something in the future. And I'll close with this, but I would like to see that bridge project percentage come down, or for you to show us that it has no negative long-term impact compared to a 405 on Park. I suspect I know, and I suspect you know the answer to that question. And I think the biggest problem we have is that ever-ballooning number of students who are getting that piece of paper, and that piece of paper's value being forever inflated.
So let me just finish with this, if you don't mind, and thank you so much for being here. Is I think what you've heard from a number of us is this issue, and people are calling it different things, culture, a culture of compliance, institutional control. The audit was clear that it does not appear there was any evidence that the central office was dictating any of these things. But I don't think that we're doing too much dot connecting to suggest that something is going on here. And maybe this is a question for Dr. Eubanks and the board, because often it's hard for an organization to understand its own culture. Sometimes someone on the outside has to do it. But if we read this audit and we see that there's a non-trivial number of students who were graduated without meeting the requirements, that about 25% of students had grade changes that couldn't be verified, if we see that there are late changes to transcripts, if we see goal seeking, literally evidence of teachers making marks to figure out how many points a student needs and then giving that number of students so they pass the class, that so many kids are graduating with 50 or more absences, something's going on here, and I don't want to go too far, but it seems like some signal, something is happening to suggest to schools, to teachers, to someone, we got to graduate these students, irrespective of some of these rules we have. And that's what I've been grappling with here. No evidence that any dictate came down, but there's too much smoke here, it seems, for us to say that there's not something going on. If you want to respond to that, please do. Otherwise, we can wrap up.
So I think the only thing I would say is that you know, when I came back to Prince George's County and assembled my team, there were some schools who were using credit recovery and some that weren't, and so there was an inequity across the system. And so, as we, you know, began the work with our transition team, which included people from inside the district, outside the district, inside the state, outside the state, you know, we looked to them to kind of say, you know, what are areas of focus, and we used that work to build on our strategic plan. But I think that, you know, making it fair that kids in some schools aren't having access to some things and other kids are is a fairness question. I believe that this work to try to help students be successful and meet the standards is important. We believe that our kids have a desire to move forward and sometimes need some supports and some access to different opportunities, different pathways to get where it is that they want to go. And I think that, you know, the data has been being monitored in districts across this country for decades. I mean, this is not something that's unique to Prince George's County. The question is, are people following? And it's clear that they were not following the procedures and policies that were in place around a number of these things. And that is work that we are charged because of the results of the audit to make sure that we're going to do, and we will do that. I think that, again, I've worked in a couple of other districts in this state as well. And every school leadership team, every school instructional team is monitoring how many kids are ready for the MSA or the park and what things and what supports, interventions, differentiated instruction and things, you know, can people do to help kids get across that hurdle. And, you know, I think that being invested in that work is very, very important. I don't set the, you know, I don't know how many states are still in park. I don't have the authority to say park is or park isn't what we're going to use. I think that, you know, again, when we come to real data analysis, whether those things are connected, but the graduation standards are set by this board. You know, you say, here's what it takes to get a diploma in the state of Maryland, and our system is complying and going to get better at complying with those standards.
Great. Thank you so much, and I want to thank the board members and your team for coming in. We appreciate it. Dr. Salmon, unless there's anything else, we'll take a break now. I think we probably need a 10-minute break.
Sorry about that.
So we will be back here at 11:50. Thank you, everyone.